So as we're continuing to talk about how to not get destroyed by success from Joseph's example, I want to share another application for that today. Again, Abraham Lincoln one time said, if you really want to test a person's character, give him power. If you really want to test our character, it gets tested when we suffer, yes, but it gets tested when we succeed. That's why J. Oswald Sanders says, nobody can carry a full cup. Very few people, in fact, can be richly blessed, carry a full cup, and not lose their spiritual equilibrium. We see examples like that all throughout the Bible and throughout history. So how can you carry success well? This is really important for those of you who are in Northern Virginia, especially if you're young, if you're in high school. You are going to schools that you know are considered some of the best schools in the United States. You are on a track to go to some of the best colleges in the United States. Many of you are planning to take to major in degrees that will not just give you positions in government, but will give you money that will find. You're going to be carrying a full cup. How can we fare that? So often people carry the full cup and it destroys them. It destroys their character or it destroys their marriage and their family. Second thing that Joseph did well that enabled him to succeed in success is he never lost focus on God's priority to be a dad and a husband. We read here in Genesis 41:45, Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he also gave him a wife, Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Now, this is speculation, but many believe that it's reasonable that Joseph married her because he was able to lead her to worship the God of the Hebrew God. In fact, historically, it's very possible that Joseph not just had an influence on leading the nation in general, but actually influenced Egypt of that time to move toward a monotheistic approach. But anyway, I have no question that Joseph influenced his wife, who came out of paganism, to follow God. But he did the same with his sons when they were born. Verse 50, two sons were born to Joseph. He named one Manasseh and said, God has made me forget all my hardship and my whole family. And the second he named Ephraim and said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, giving his sons those names did a couple of things, helped teach them spiritually in a couple of ways. First of all, every time Manasseh heard his name, he knew he was not an Egyptian. In his name was included the name for the Hebrew God. And he was reminded of how the Hebrew God blessed Joseph. So think about Manasseh, you know, when he hears his name and it means God has made me forget all my hardship and my whole family. Not only does the name remind him who their God is, but so does the story of his name. Joseph didn't want them to forget that for 13 years he was a slave and in prison. Doesn't want them to forget he went through difficult times and God didn't forget him. God honored him. God is the one who led him to this place. Every time Manasseh hears his name, he remembers that story. And when others will hear that name, his name, they'll remember that story as well. And the same thing with Ephraim. Ephraim, because Ephraim means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And again, every time Ephraim hears his name, he's able to remember, oh, our God gave my dad prosperity. Our God made us fruitful. And every time, and so Joseph would use those names to teach them about their God. And as a result, he led his family well. It is so easy, once we become successful, to start to neglect family. Often people become successful in the process they neglect their family. To be able to get the positions, to be able to get the prosperity, they've had to work hard and not make family the priority that they should be. And certainly it's easy to sacrifice spiritual things, church, service in the church, honoring God and serving first in the kingdom. See, it's hard to be wealthy and successful like Joseph and to still take God seriously. Again, that's why Jesus said it's difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, because wealth provides for us distractions. There are increased options, increased opportunities. More money means I have more opportunity to travel, more ability to travel. And since I'm traveling so much and we have more options, well, yeah, we'll come to church when it's convenient, but I can't serve. Can't expect me to be, you know, committed to serve as part of the kingdom. And so you miss church more often. And when you are at church, sometimes it's easy to be distracted by the responsibilities that you have in the week ahead or the things that happened in the week behind. And so you find yourself listening to the sermons or during communion, and you find you're distracted and not focused on God. And you don't have time for Bible study. I mean, if you're as busy and as important as you are, who has time to take a night of the week to go to a Bible study and study God's word and explore him and listen to him in that way? And as a result, your spiritual leadership of your family by example and by proactive action takes a back seat, gets sacrificed on the altar of success. What's a profit, a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What's a profit, us? If you become the most successful person in your industry, the most powerful person in Washington, and you lose your family. Parents, you succeed in your careers. Are you succeeding spiritually with your children? I shared with you in the message a few weeks ago, you know, if you have a cup of black coffee and you put milk in, nothing happens other than makes you fat. If you have a cup of coffee, you put poison and it kills you. If a really bad person puts the milk in, still doesn't hurt you. If a really bad person puts the poison in, it's still going to kill you. But if a really good person puts the milk in, still okay. But if a really good person puts the poison in, it's no less poisonous. And parents, I think we need to be wise to understand there are a lot of really nice people in the world, well-meaning people. And their desire is to be kind, and their thinking is to be tolerant, and they're putting poison in our kids' minds and hearts. Every day, there are a lot of people feeding our kids poison of, you got to make yourself great. You got to be good by your actions. You are defined by how you feel. Your identity is in what you feel and what you do, not in God. Sure, many will say, in fact, this is so insidious. They'll say, yeah, be spiritual, but don't take God seriously. I mean, ultimately, you are the master of your destiny. You are the one who determines right and wrong, which essentially means your cultural moment does just that. Our children are a gift from God, eternal souls. I remember when our kids were born thinking, this child will never not exist anymore, and it's my responsibility for this child to become full, have a full heart of devotion and love for God. And so that is our responsibility as parents. How do you do that? Clearly, you got to commit to weekly worship together as a family. What are your weekly commitments to tell your family what really matters in life? You need to see the example of, set the example, sorry, of what it means to follow Jesus above all else. Even with your finances, you know, I never saw the checks that my parents wrote, but I knew that was their priority. I knew that they put God first with their finances and they tithe, even though they hardly were making much money. But I knew their faith because of that. Serve in the body of Christ together. Make the kingdom, your commitment, so your kids will see that. Pray for them certainly every day. It's a spiritual battle. You know, bind the evil one from doing harm. Be with my children. Make them strong in anything that they face. Don't let Satan overpower. And read the Bible with them. Expose them to Christian music and Christian even entertainment. When our kids were young, we used to listen to Adventures in Odyssey on our trips whenever we drive someplace. And it was wonderful. I mean, these great stories, and often they're Bible stories, but they're always, you know, it's always scripture that's being applied. And to be honest with you, I kind of miss those days because it gave me an excuse to listen to those kids' stories that I thought were really fun to listen to. What are you listening to in the car? And how is that nurturing your child to love the Lord? My grandparents used to play Christian music all the time. I learned how to worship there, but I learned to connect with God through all of that. What are you playing in the car with your kids there? The most important thing that Joseph did, though, of course, was set the example by his own obedience, his own faithfulness, his own priorities. You know that old Edgar Guest poem, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear." Joseph succeeded when he succeeded because he kept his family his priority. And not just family in general, but leading his family to love the Lord with all their heart. You want to carry a full cup? Keep family and discipleship your priority. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Joseph's example. We need his example, certainly. Would you show us how we can do better at leading our children, discipling our children, so that it's no longer this attitude that the church can do it and we'll help the church do it, but that we lead our children. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Can I make one more application that occurs to me as I'm praying? One of the things, the decisions we've made recently is to have children who are 6th, 7th, 8th grade in the services with the adults. Why? Because we believe in family discipleship. We think it's so much more important for your kids to watch you worship, for your children to listen to the message. Those messages are not so... I was listening to messages from the time that I was a little kid. And there's something you learn by watching your parents and by listening to those. And you pick up the scriptures. The kids can learn. And then you can talk about those together later on. The church is trying to help families by moving from this sense of, you know, families will disciple your kids and you can help us, to you, God has given you responsibility for your children. And we want to help you. And one of the ways we want to help you is by encouraging your children, your young people, to sit with you, to experience what you're experiencing, for you to model what it means to love the Lord, to worship the Lord, and then to give you a common message to be able to talk about in the week ahead. Enough for now. More next time.